Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A
of the Sunday afternoon service of September the 6th, 1992, Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Elwin and Mavis Lewis are the teachers of the afternoon.
You know, it didn't leave us without problems. It's just that we have to keep it bound and break the curses off so it won't hit our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren and it'll not go into the next generation. You following what I'm saying? So we have to, and the little sheets I gave you for you to check off, that's what'll help you. You know, we broke a lot of curses around here, and some of you can look at those, and you'll know that you need to break some more curses. Okay, now, for the divorced children, you know, there's a lot of divorces, and we work with a lot of people that have gone through a lot of hurts that need healing. Let me tell you about a couple. This is the true story. There was a couple here in the United States, and they were so in love. And as they married, and he had a wonderful job and was gone some, but he called her every day. They were just so in love. It was just a storybook marriage, and they were very close, and they were Christians. And one day the husband went to Japan, and on his trip to Japan he was gone for 10 days, and he never called her. And so she thought, I must call and find out what's going on. She got a hold of the office where he was over there on business, and they had him to call. He called in a few days. It was about 12 days before she talked to him, and she just could not imagine what was wrong because he had never gone this long without talking to her by telephone. And she said that he told her on the phone, said, I have met someone over here, and I'm not coming home. Well, she was devastated. I mean, she had never had any kind of trauma in her life. She could not understand what was taking place. And so she said, well, just keep in touch with me. You know, I'm going to pray for you. Just let me know what's taking place. And so she got a Christmas card, and he had a little girl. And then in a year or two, she got another Christmas card, and he had another little girl. And so occasionally he would call her, or she would call him, and at least they kept in touch. And this lady lived in San Francisco. And a few years went by, and she got a letter from him, and he said, I am dying with cancer. And would you pray? And she said yes, that she would pray. And he said, but I'm going to ask a favor of you. I have two girls. I think they were like 8 and 10. Would you take my girls and raise them in America? I want them to be raised in America. Now, people, that tests your love. You know? That tests your love. This is the true story. She had never had children, and she thought, this will be a part of him that I've never had. I've never had. You know, this will be a part of him. So she wrote him back and said, yes, I'll take them. Well, she got all ready for them. She thought this was just going to be a wonderful thing, and she couldn't wait. And the day she went to the airport to pick them up, here come two beautiful little girls. She had their pictures. She knew what they looked like. But behind them came the mother. She took them in, and it was a trying situation, but God worked miracles in her life. This lady, The young girls grew up, and when they became grown, the mother still lived with her. And she became very ill. And that mother and those children loved her. They could not do enough for her. And they took care of her because she had no one to take care of her in her dying day. Now, let me tell you, that's a picture painted for us, you know. Sometimes we think we've been done wrong. We need to check out and find out, just, God, would you have me to do this? Sometimes she could have made the decision. It would have been her decision. It wouldn't have been the Lord. We need to pray about some of those things. But that was a form of divorce that ended up being a beautiful situation. Okay, now I want to talk to you just a second about harassing spirits. A lot of people are harassed by demons. That's over on the on page 2. A lot of people are harassed by demonic forces. You take a spirit of rejection. The devil can just take that and harass you. Unforgiveness, he can harass you. The devil can take something of your memory and just harass you. How many of you have ever had something that just harassed you and you could not deal with it? See, we all have. And so a lot of times the Lord will work through the situations, but we need to go to the root of the problem. We need to get the basic information. Remember, I talked to you the other day about the fruits and the roots. So we need to stand against harassing demons. I believe the harassing spirits are up on our families like never before in our family. When I was in Houston, I worked with a girl that was in our singles that was trying to commit suicide. And I had a man call me and said, I need you to work with her. And so I said, okay. And so she came. And a lot of times in discernment, you just see. I mean, in discernment, sometimes I can see clear across the room. The length of this room, if in discernment, if I needed to see something, I could just see it. Not by my own natural eyes, but I could see it in the spirit realm. And there, so there's no distance in the spirit realm, okay? And as they brought her in, I have to see, when you work with people, you have to get their confidence. You have to let them know you're not a threat, that you love them, that you're not going to judge them, you're not going to put shame on them, you're not going to embarrass them. You're there just to love them. And I began to love her and just get her confidence. And I saw this ring. It was about the size of my thumbnail. And I thought, oh, that's demonic. Now, I didn't know what it said on it. I just knew it was demonic. I mean, I knew in my spirit, could see it. But the Lord said, don't talk to her about the ring now, because it'll break up this confidence. So I just let it go, and I prayed for about a week, and she came back the next week. And when she got there, she said, I said, oh, where'd you get your ring? Or where did your ring come from, or something? Because I felt like the Lord had released me. And she said, I want to ask you about that. Said, someone at church this last week came up and told me this ring was demonic. And I said, well, let me see it. Tell me about your ring. Now, the girl had come, she told me the week before she had a rare kidney disease. She also told me that she had not had love from her mother. And so she said this, I said, tell me about the ring. And she said she'd had this rare kidney disease since she was 16 years old. She said, I've had this ring since I was 16 years old. My mother gave it to me on my 16th birthday. Well, it was almost worn thin. And I said, have you ever pulled it off? And she said, 2 times in 16 years I have pulled it off. So I said, what does it say? She said, I don't know, but it came from Egypt. My mother was on a trip in Egypt, and she brought it to me. And I said, well, I don't know what it says, but I know it's demonic. And I have a friend at the University of Houston, and they have a teacher over there from Egypt. So let's see if we can find out what it says on this ring. Well, we began to pray, and so the next week I found out what it said on the ring, and it said it was the Egyptian goddess of the kidney. So we destroyed, had a little writing around the ring. We destroyed the ring, got her delivered and healed of her kidney disease, and she no longer had attempted suicide. Now, I had to do a lot of work with her and discipling her and getting, because she had a lot of emotional problems, a lot of emotional problems. But it came, and she ended up being a beautiful young girl, 26 years old, had never been married. So that's just some of the things that we can work on. You know, I don't know how many of you here that have the gifts of the Holy Spirit flowing in your life. That's one of our things that we love to do. We teach it in Japan, and one of the things. But the gifts of the Holy Spirit are for the church. Yes. And if you don't have discernment in these last days, you're going to be duped. I'm going to tell you. We must have discerning of spirits operating. The Lord gave those gifts to the church. If we hadn't have needed them, He wouldn't have given them to us, right? And so they're part of our tool to work in order to get things going. All right, now let's skip on down here to child sexual abuse. Okay? I'm not reading a lot of these definitions for time. You can read just like I can read, so we'll just go on. Sexual abuse is on a rampage all over the world. You see, it's been in the closet for so many years. It's just not something that we're suddenly having. It's been around a long, long time from the beginning. But it's just now coming out because God's Word said that everything that's hid will be revealed in the last days. And it's being revealed. It's coming forth. People are being brave enough now to come forth. Now, why is it hidden a lot of times? A lot of times it's hid because it will break up the family, because of security. Because I've worked with a lot of families that have ended up in a divorce because a child was an incest victim, because a child was being molested either by a stepfather. There are more children abused and molested by stepfathers than are fathers, and I don't have my percentages here, but physical, you know, the physical incest molestation, it's a sickness. It's a real, real sickness. But we dealt with that curse yesterday, and I believe those curses are broke, and you keep them broke over your family. If you have any kind of incest at all, and a lot of times we don't know. It's just like I've heard Irma say, you know, you just go over all of them. It doesn't hurt a thing. I mean, every once in a while, I'll pick up that manual back there, Irma, and I just go through every one of them. I mean, I want to break them off of myself and my children and my grandchildren, and I don't want anything to stop me. And so, you know, hey, do it whether you know it or not. There's been a lot of hidden things in my life that I didn't know, and praise the Lord, you just do it. You cover it to make sure that you know, it's all handled, okay? Now let's go real hurriedly to the pleaser. The pleaser, let's see, where is the pleaser? On the page 3. Okay. Let me tell you, a pleaser a lot of times is a person who, they may have some codependency, but they want to please people. And a lot of times we see that an incest victim or a person that's been molested a lot of times will just say yes to anyone else. Most prostitutes that they have talked to on the streets of L.A. have all been molested or incest victims, and so they freely give themselves to other men. That is a pleaser. We don't look at that always as a pleaser, but it's pleasing the other person because they're not pleasing themselves. They hate themselves. It's nothing that they enjoy. They do not enjoy that. It is pleasing to others. And then we have a form of pleaser that is a perfectionist. Someone that's always wanting to make other people happy. How many of you have ever said, yes, you want to do something, and you knew you didn't want to do that thing? How many of you at a church, they'll come up and say, well, I need, would you bring this dish or would you do this? I don't really want to do that. But I'm going to be looked down upon if I don't say yes. How many of you have ever said yes when you wanted to say no? We all have. Did you know that's a lie? Your heart's not with it. Your heart's saying one thing, and your flesh is saying something else. But we want to please people. We want to please people by letting them keep their demons sometime. And we need to really tell them about it. We need to say, hey, you know, you need deliverance. Why don't you do that? Because you're fearful of what they'll say, of being hurt. And so we just have to go on. Okay? Let's go on down. I'm going to talk just a second. I've got a couple of things I want to tell you about intervals. And we worked with intervals. We worked with breaking the circle and everything of the curses yesterday. But in Malachi 1:14, and I'm not going to read those scriptures. I'm just going to give them to you and you can read. But it's talking about broken vows. Now, how many of you ever vowed that you'd never be like your mother or your father? We all did, you know. But did you know those are vows? You're vowing. Now, there was a lady that I knew that she had about 4 or 5 girls, and she kept wanting a boy. And she would abort boys. And she just could not carry a boy. And one day the Lord said to her, do you remember when you were about 10 years old and you were having to take care of your little boy cousins and your little brothers, and you were walking and you threw a rock in the water, and just as you threw the rock in the water, you said, I'll never have any boy babies when I grow up. I hate little boys. She broke that. Within 10 months, she had a baby boy. Now, that's a message for somebody. I don't know who or what. But that's the vows we take. Your mouth is speaking and saying a lot, okay? And then I did the same thing. I said, you know, I'll never drink. I don't want to be like my mother. Well, my mother never did drink, but I mean, I didn't want to drink and be like my dad, and I didn't want to be like my mother because my mother was very passive. My daddy ran over my mother, and nobody was going to run over me. You know, that was my attitude as I was growing up because I saw my daddy run over my mother. Well, the Lord, first thing I know, I hear my mother saying, "You act just like your daddy." And I thought, first thing I thought, "But I don't drink. How could I act like my daddy?" Well, my daddy was a giver. My daddy would just... I mean, he always gave the pastor when he wasn't even a Christian, give him a side of beef and whatever we had in the farm. He'd take them tow sacks of potatoes or farm, or I mean, they'd come by building the church and collecting. My daddy might give him the biggest offering of all the church and didn't even go to church. So and then my daddy loved to help people, and so that's what my mother was relating to, because I got that gift from my dad of wanting to help other people. But sometimes we hear these things, you know. You know, you're just like so-and-so, or, you know, and those things are in our ears. But the things that we need to look at is the things that we talk about. And I had to break the things when I said, "I'll never be like my mother." And then sometimes something would come out of my mouth and I sounded just like her. How many of you know what I'm talking about there? And I'm thinking, man alive, I got to take care of that, you know. So those are just some of the... broken vows. Now I want to just talk just real hurriedly now about the spiritual adultery. In Deuteronomy 5, 8, and 9, and let's turn there. I've got that scripture right. 5, 8, and 9. "And you shall not make yourself any carven images or any likeness or anything that is in the heavens above, that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And you shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, and I visit the iniquity of the father upon the children to the third and fourth generation and of those who hate me." Now, we've heard that read before during this weekend. But you see, the main thing that we do is whenever we bow down to idols, we are bowing down to spiritual adultery. And then... in Matthew 5, 27, 28, it talks about if we have lust in our eye and in our heart, we've already committed adultery. So a lot of times we have lusted on things and we have desired, we may have committed a spiritual adultery with our mate or other people. So those are some things that we need to think about. And also... Matthew 6:24 says, "No one can serve two masters. Who is the master of our spirit? Jesus Christ is the master of our spirit." So if you're serving another master, then you need to repent. And I think that's the name of this weekend, right? Is repent. We need to repent. And I tell you, in support groups, we teach people to repent. We teach them to get out on their knees and to repent until you get it, okay? And so we need to get back to repenting. All right. Now I want to talk just a second about bitter root judgment. Bitter root judgment is just judging, just plain old judging. I judged my dad, and in Hebrews 12:15 talks about the bitter root judgment springing up, causing trouble that defiles. So it's also in Luke 6:36-38. And you know, a lot of people use that for taking up offerings. But you read up there above that, and don't pull that scripture out of context, it's talking about judging. Let's just turn to that. Some of you may not have seen that before. Luke 6:36. All right. Luke 6:36 is where we'll start. "Therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, you shall not be judged. Condemn not, you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put upon your bosom. For with what measure you use, it will be measured back." That's talking about with what judgment you judge, it'll be measured back to you. It's not talking about money. It's talking about with what measure you judge. And what measure do you forgive? If you forgive that person a lot, or if you just forgive that person a little bit, It's going to come back, pressed down, shaken together, running over. So if you begin to look upon that, you'll see where God doesn't want us to judge, because you become bitter. He is the judge. The Lord told me one time I had been really done wrong when I was on the mission field, and I could tell you a lot of things. That was my Waterloo. I mean, I learned a lot. I was isolated. I was alone. I learned to trust in God all by myself, and I saw a lot of things that I didn't know people did as Christians. And so I began to cry out to God, and I said, God, I don't understand. How can people serve you and call themselves certain things and prophesy and do all this and take people's money and do this? You would never let me do that. Lord, you would spank me real good. And the Lord said, you know, I didn't call you down here to do their dirty laundry. I called you down here to pray for them, because I didn't have anybody to pray for them. I'll do their laundry. So we don't need to do their laundry. We need to just pray and let the Lord take care of them. Because the Lord said, you see, I'm showing you these things because I don't want you doing those things. And the reason some people do the things they do, because they won't hear God. Their conscience is seared. Their conscience is callous, like we heard yesterday. Somebody talked about the callousing. So it's calloused, and they can't hear what God is trying to say. Go to slumbering spirits. Now, let me tell you what slumbering spirits are. Slumbering spirit is where the human spirit has either gone to sleep or was never awakened. Can they be born again? Oh, yeah. Have you seen people who were on fire at one time in the church? And all of a sudden, they're slothful. The Bible talks about the slothfulness, the sluggard. In Isaiah 56, 9 and 10, talks about the slumbering, slothful spirit. Romans 11, 8 says those with a slumbering spirit can come to God mentally and emotionally. They can, but they can never, and a lot of them never meet him. You look at it this way. Some people can go to church and never meet Jesus personally and never know him as Lord and Savior. They do it in their head. Now, have some of you wondered why our great giants in Christianity have fallen? I can tell you, it's very simple. The Lord showed me 5 years before PTO fell that it was going to fall. And I told my husband, I said, you mark what I tell you, there's sin in the camp. God showed me. He never let me give a dime to that organization because I had discernment, and he showed me. I saw the sin. I did not know what they were doing, but I saw the sin. See, God will protect you, and God will show you if you'll get right with God and begin to gear in. I'm not knocking anybody. Maybe you didn't, and maybe you did give to him. I'm not knocking that. I'm just saying. I'm talking about myself, okay? I told him, I said, you watch. It's going to be exposed, because the Lord told me 6 years ago last April, if my people do not get in their prayer closet and begin to repent, I'm going to expose it to the church, then I'm going to expose it to the world. And that's exactly what we've seen happen. The church always knows it first. Okay? There was a slumbering spirit. Then we saw another man televangelist fall. They were so busy doing the works of God, they let their human spirit go to sleep with the demonic forces. And when you totally give in, I mean, some people, you know, you've got to praise the Lord. You've got to keep yourself stirred up, don't we, Brother Glenn? I mean, we've got to read the Word. We've got to not get pious and pride, and it just ushers things in. I mean, you can just sit in your chair and lull, and we could people get up here and sing and pray and preach, and you've got to have your human spirit awake. The Word tells us about a sluggard. He's not talking about non-Christians. He's talking about Christian people. And so we've got to get stirred up. We've got to get going and make sure that our human spirit. I tell you, sometime I get up of mornings and we've had a rough day or some the day before, and I think, I don't even feel like a Christian day. How many of you get up sometimes you don't really feel like a Christian, you know? Well, I get on my stationary bike, or we go for a walk, and I start quoting the Word, and I mean, I start praying and get all worked up, and my goodness, I'm a Christian again. Hallelujah. Just praise the Lord. So we have to do this sometimes. Just start praising the Lord and go through lots and lots and lots. And I'm going to close with this and get into a little bit of ministry here. I'm going to talk to you on the last page of time, healing of time. Let me find my notes on that here real quick. Now, let me tell you, time does not heal. We can see in the Word. We can see by Joseph. You heard about Joseph this morning. I wasn't in here because I was back in the kitchen, but I could get a little glimpse every once in a while here a little bit about what you were saying. But Joseph tells us why. It tells us right there with Joseph. And then with David. So there are many things about those, about David. And I'm going to talk to you just a moment about David and his dysfunctional family. Okay? David, three generations of David, David's family, three generations ruled and were kings. And some of you know what happened at the end of that third generation. God took the Israel away from David's family. Now let's go back and let's look just a minute, you see, and just find out just exactly what happened. And there's a few things happened besides David, David and Solomon and Rehoboam marrying strange wives, people that they were not supposed to marry. So there's some other things. Now, you see, David loved the Lord with all of his heart. And you read the Word for yourself. I've read this and studied this for several months. David had a great relationship with the Lord. But David never learned how to have a relationship with his children. We've all heard about David since we were children. David was our hero. Okay? David killed the giant. David killed the bear. David, we saw where David was anointed to be the king long before he was king. But let's go back to that point. Remember when Samuel was sent to anoint the king and he looked at all of Jesse's sons and he said, "Is this all the sons you have? Do you have any others?" He said, "Well, I have one more son, and he's off out here tending the sheep. We've got him stuck off out there." But he, you know, he probably would have said, "But he's a little runt. He couldn't be the king." He said, "Bring him here and let me see him." He was anointed as king. And that ought to tell you a little bit like there, that he was isolated off out there. My heart grieves because of how David was isolated. The other men got some favor from Jesse, but it doesn't, we don't see there where David got much favor. I believe David was the runt, the baby, and he began to, the Lord, he had a relationship with the Lord. But he didn't have a relationship, much relationship with his father or with his brothers. And you go back and read the Word and you'll begin to see. You can just begin to see it laid out there, okay? And so David went on through his kingship, and you know all of that. Now, let's get to the point where David had his relationship with Bathsheba. David had his relationship with Bathsheba. Was a great, long-lasting impact on his children. He had Amnon. He had Tamar. And he had Absalom. And they were like, the commentaries tell us that they were like teenagers when this took place. Now, can you imagine yourself being a teenager and your father, the king, and he has just had an affair with a married woman. Then he killed the husband of the woman he's just had an affair with. Then they have a baby and that baby dies. Trauma. Real trauma on those children. So then you know that Amnon raped his half-sister Tamar. Tamar was devastated. Back in those days, those young girls who were maidens wore certain clothing. The Word says she pulled her clothes. She was angry. She was hurt. She ran to Absalom because no one else could hear her. No one else. Absalom took her into his home. And then we find, I'm going to cut this real short, but we find where two or three years went by, David did nothing. David did nothing. Back in those days, for a person to have raped a young maiden and did what Amnon had done to his half-sister, he would have been stoned and put out of the family. But David did nothing. After 2 or 3 years, you know that Absalom was having his big sheep shearing springtime festival, and he asked his dad if they would come and join him, and his dad refused him. But he did get permission to let all of his brothers come over. Absalom told his servants that when he gets here and he gets high on spirits, kill him. They did that very thing. What had happened to Absalom? Bitter, and his hatred grew. And this is a story for us today. This is what happens to us if people don't do what we want them to do. Absalom ran for his life. And he was gone for several years and came back. He tried many times to see his daddy. His daddy refused to see his face. Refused him. That was another rejection. Absalom took the hero role that my husband talked about the other day. He tried to make things right in that family, and his daddy did nothing. Okay? So then we go on to where Absalom, in order to get attention, he went to a man, Joab, remember? And he had a fire filled, and he set it on fire. Joab came and said, why did you do this? And he had already gone to Joab once. Joab could get in to see his father, and he wouldn't make a way. He said, no, I won't go tell your father. This time, Joab went. So it opened the door. He was able to see his daddy. But then he saw David doing nothing. His daddy still did nothing to the incident. And now this had been, I don't know, about 7 years. So Absalom went out by the gate. Now I was taught all my life that Absalom caused strife and division among the family and that he wanted to take the kingdom away from David. I see it differently now. David wanted his daddy to do something. David wanted attention from his daddy. How many have known children who want to get attention from their fathers and they end up rebellious and end up doing all of some dumb things because they don't get attention from their father? So then Absalom, you see, Absalom just started war. And David said, don't kill him. Don't kill him. Well, you know what old Joab did? Old Joab caught him hanging in a tree and he put 3 spears in his heart. So through that, David wept and he cried, oh, my son Absalom! Oh, my son Absalom! But just a few months before, David wouldn't even look at him. Wouldn't have anything to do with him. In a sense, we still have that today. Then you look at Solomon. Solomon came along and you read in Proverbs, you read in Ecclesiastes, you read in the book of Song of Solomon, and you can see all the things that that Solomon went through. I can see that in the later years, David probably had a closer relationship with Solomon than he did with his other children. How many of you have ever known parents to do that? They'll have children late in life and they're closer to them than they were the first ones because they have a little more time to do that. But let's go on. Solomon was the wisest man in the world. And we heard yesterday about his 300 wives and 700 concubines. And I told you the day before he was a sexaholic. He's an alcoholic. He didn't need that many wives. Of course, back in those days, it was prominent. But he didn't have to be that prominent. He didn't have to take on all those wives. That's right. But how could the wisest man in the world make so many mistakes? So then he brought in his son and he became the king. And what did they do? They built temples. And Solomon tells us so many times in his writing what all I've done, and it was vain. No good. So they lost their kingdom. Their kingdom was their family, their home. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to minister to some people right now, just a second here. Before I do that, I feel like I need to tell you this one little incident here. And it's a true story also. And this is about unforgiveness, bitterness, angry. There was a woman and she had 2 teenage children, beautiful, beautiful children. It was a beautiful family. But one of the children had a little rebellious spirit. And one night, she just didn't come home. The mother was up all night, walking the floor, did not know where she was. And as the mother, the next morning, she asked the girl where she had been, and she said, oh, just out. The daughter said, I don't want to hear you. I don't want to listen to you. And these girls were, they were both in college. And so this went on, and every time the rebellious daughter would stay out, the mother, something would just happen to her. And one day she walked into the guest bedroom, and there was portraits hanging on the wall of the two daughters. And she was upholstering a chair, and there was upholstery tacks in the chair. She just took the girl's portrait off of the wall. It was an oil painting. Just took it off the wall and just took a thumbtack and just crammed it in her mouth through that portrait. And she said, thought, well, I've got to hide this. So she put it in the closet, and every time the girl would go out, she would pick up another tack and poke it in the girl's face. Months went by, and her daughter, that loved her mother very much, that was a very obedient daughter, came to her mother and said, Mother, I see a change in you. You're not the same that you were 9 months ago. What has happened? What's happened to you? What's taking place? And the mother broke and said, oh, I've done a fearful, terrible thing. And she took her up to the bedroom and pulled that out in her, and the daughter said, oh, what has happened? What did you do? What, you know? And she said, oh, every time she would stay out, I would put a hole in her face. Well, they pulled the tacks out, and there was rust and mar on the face of this young girl. Just at that instant, the rebellious girl walked in the room. Oh, what's happened to the picture? Who did this? And the mother said, I have to ask you for forgiveness. I did this. The young girl fell to her knees and began to cry out in repentance to the Lord. The mother began to slide the portrait out of a frame. And behind that portrait was a perfect portrait. This is true. There was a little writing on the back of it, and says, the first portrait did not do this daughter justice. I am now giving her a new one. Perfect portrait. That's a message for us today. There are some of you here today, and you have grown bitter because your children are not serving the Lord like they were raised or like you want them to. We need to check ourselves. Have we allowed ourselves to be bitter? Have we allowed some things to come in our life that we need to take care of? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pray before the Lord just a moment. Father, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for the healing. We thank you, Lord, for the things that you're doing in these people's lives. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. Glorify your name, Lord. Magnify the name of the living God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Is there someone here that has problems in your knee? Who is it? Stand to your feet. There may be more than one, but you have a knee problem. Right back there. Right back here. Okay. Anyone else? Okay. There's about four people. Okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I see it's like a nerve, and like the tendon has been pulled in your knee. Is that right? Right? And you have some pain, just really, really extensive pain. Someone turn around and lay your hand on those knees right now, that knee right now. Hallelujah. Let's let the body minister here just a moment in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I speak healing over the knee in the name of Jesus. You tendons and ligaments right now, I command you to be healed in the name of Jesus. Any dysfunction, any demonic force that might be attached to those knees, we call them loose in the name of Jesus. I command you to loose them right now in the name of Jesus. Loosen the nerves, loosen the muscle, loosen the kneecap in the name of Jesus. And right now, Lord, we speak healing, the healing power of the living God upon them right now in the name of Jesus. Just begin to confess it. Grab a hold of it. Believe it. Let it work in the name of Jesus. Let it work in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, let's just spend a little bit more time here before the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All right. There is someone here, and your husband has been against you in some areas, and I believe it's a non-Christian husband. He's rejected you. That's what it is. It's a rejection from your husband. Who is that? Stand to your feet just real quick. Stand to your feet real quick. Hallelujah. There we go. Hallelujah. Yeah, and it could be a, it may be a, but I really feel a husband and of your husband has rejected you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I loose this rejection in the name of Jesus. I command that the spirit of rejection be loosed off of them. Darling, come up here. Someone help her up here. Hallelujah. Let the other young lady, you come on up too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You spirit of rejection, I command you to be gone from her right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Release the spirit of love right now upon her, right now upon her. And I want you to forgive him right now, okay? That's right. See, repentance is the name of the game. Repentance is the name of the game. Father, I thank you for the spirit of the living God upon her right now. Oh, hallelujah. There it is, honey. Receive it. There it is. There it is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the Lord. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. That's it. That's it. We just need to learn to we need to repent. We have those feelings. Hallelujah. Spirit of rejection, I command you to be gone from her right now in the name of Jesus. Be gone from her right now in the name of Jesus. Loosen her. Loosen her. There it is, darling. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay? I want all those parents right now that your children have, they were raised in a Christian home and they're no longer serving God. I want you to stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, I want you to free them and I want you to loose them and I want you to let them go and I want you to let the Lord do what he needs to do with them, because some of you have him bound. You have God bound and the Lord cannot work in this area with them, okay? And what you're really doing is you're telling the Lord you're not big enough to take care of them. So let's stop it. Let's just free them and loose them. Now say with me, I free and loose my children.
I free and loose
to you, Jesus.
To you, Jesus.
You take care of them.
You take care of them.
In whatever manner.
Whatever manner.
You need to take care of them.
You need to take care of them.
I believe that you're going to bring them to their knees.
That you're going to bring them to their knees.
And bring them back to their first love.
Bring them back to their first love.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Give him praise. Hallelujah. Bring them in, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Bring them in. Bring them back to the fold in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yes. Okay.
Praise you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Okay, you may be seated. Yeah. Something. I'll say.
Is there someone here that has a pain from the bottom of your head here in the back down through your shoulders? Okay, will you stand? We just pray for you right now. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. In the name of Jesus, I come against this attack of the enemy.
Yes, we do. Yes,
in their
we do.
Neck, these nerves. Satan, you just get out of there in the name of Jesus. And we call for a divine healing of God upon this nerve that goes from the base of their head down through their shoulders in the name of Jesus. It is released right now in the name of Jesus, right now. Hallelujah. Thank you for the healing. Just rejoice now. Raise your hand. Rejoice and thank God for it right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. It's done. Give God praise. Amen.
In the name of
Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. I have a word for you. Hallelujah. The Lord says, because you are hunting and you're searching, you will surely find. For he said, you see, I have many things that I'm going to open up to you, but it's not going to be all at one time. It's going to be one thing, one step at a time. And the Lord said, stay close to him. Don't let anything else come between you and the Lord. And the Lord says, just keep your eye on him, and he'll bring the people in your presence that need to help you in the areas that you need to be helped in. And the Lord says, don't think about what will I do, or can I do this, or can I do that? The Lord says, just relax, walk with Him, and allow it to all come to place. Because God has called you to do a certain thing. And the Lord, I believe right now, is trying to tell you, don't be concerned about how I'm going to do this. You see, that's the Lord's business. He just calls us, and then we get ready. All right. So the Lord wants you to get ready and prepare yourself. He wants you to study that word. I mean, get in that word, devour that word, let that word eat you. Okay? And then you're going to have a revelation that's going to help you to understand the word, and then you're going to be able to reach out and to help people. And then that healing, the word is healing. Okay? And it'll come. Lord, grant this word. I thank you, Jesus, that it will come to pass as He allows it to. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I was talking to you. You have Chinese puppies. I can't think of your name, but I love your puppies. So. Bill. Okay, both of you. Yes, both of you stand up. Hallelujah. The Lord says, because you're obedient and because you're honesty, you see, you have a pure heart and you're honest before the Lord. And the Lord looks at your heart and your intent. He said, I'm going to cause some things to happen in your life that you thought, God, how could it ever come to pass? And the Lord says, as you begin to walk the path of righteousness like you have in the past and keep going on that road, the road's going to get wider and better and bigger. And the Lord says, there's been times that you've tried to stay between the lines. There's been times that you've said, Lord, I don't understand what you're doing in my life. But the Lord says, you see, son and daughter, I'm working a work in your life to cause maturity. And when that maturity is in full grown, then you'll be able to do whatever I ask you to do. And the Lord says, you've come a long way, but you've got a little more ways to go, because the Lord says, I'm not finished. I'm not nearly finished. So progress and go forward, knowing that the Lord has His hand on you, and there's some good things happening, and there's some beautiful things on down the road. And the Lord said, don't be fearful in the things that I've asked you to do and the things that I've called you to do, because you're going to see some things come to pass. And don't ponder it in your heart of how God's going to do it, because the Lord said, I'll complete it when it's ready to be completed. Okay? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Miller, I don't know where Irma is. She's back there. Irma, would you come down here a minute, please? Hallelujah. 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 The Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. Mercy endures forever. The Lord says, my revelation has been opened up unto you. And you're going to understand more of the word than you've ever understood it before. And the Lord says, you have a hunger and desire to please me. And the Lord knows that, and He sees that. And He said, because you have sacrificed, I'm going to give back to you 100-fold. And it's going to be in many different areas. And the Lord says, because you've been faithful, because you've stood, I have given you health. Mm-hmm. And He said, I've given you souls. And I've given you life. And the Lord says, your crown is just full of jewels. I mean, it's just, you're just adding and adding and adding and adding to that. And the Lord says, as you come unto me every day like you've always done, I'm going to keep that peace right in your heart. And people all around you are going to be in turmoil and torment. And we're in for some rough rides. But the Lord says, you're going to have the peace and you're going to have plenty, because I'm going to supply your needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus, simply because you have sowed seeds years and years and years ahead of time. And the Lord said, people will come to you and you'll have a word and it'll set them free just like that. Even in finances, people will have a word and they'll say, the Lord just sent me here. I don't know why I'm here. I don't even know you. And you'll just say such and such and such, and it'll be right on exactly what they mean.
Amen. For the Lord saith unto thee that I placed a glory cloud over you, and I have caused my presence to abide with you, and I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you, but I will be with you even down to the end of this age. For For surely this age is coming to an end, but until that time I have called thee to occupy, and I want you to know that my presence will be there, and whenever there is a problem or circumstances, you look up, for that cloud that is over thee will be there, and you can be assured that I will never, never go from thee, for thou hast been faithful unto me, and thou hast done what I have said to do. You have been obedient unto me, therefore I am committed unto thee, and that I will stay with thee. And in the darkness and in the storms, in the times when the devil would seek to destroy you or destroy this property or come against this place which I have ordained and given unto thee, he will not be able to do it, for greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Hallelujah.
And you will just say, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, Satan. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And as you resist him, he will flee from you. So be encouraged this day that I shall carry you through, and your name shall be established in this place forever, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Be
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Be strong in the Lord, yeah. In the power of my might. Overcome by your testimony and by the blood of the Lamb in the name of Jesus, for I have promised those that they would overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony.
Keep talking. Keep speaking. Keep declaring. Keep saying unto the mountain, be removed into the sea in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise
God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Okay. I know it's supper time and they're ready for us, and so we want to close and just tell you how much we've just enjoyed being with you. You've all are so beautiful, and we've met so many of you and talked with you, and we just appreciate it. And would you just stand to your feet? You want me just to pray? I'll stand to your feet, and we'll be around to talk with you if we can help you in any way. Hallelujah. Father God, we love you. And Lord, I thank you that the seeds that have been sowed this whole weekend, Lord, will go deep down into their heart and will begin to germinate and come to life. And they will have a crop in the name of Jesus for healing and deliverance and for the peace of mind, Lord. And the gifts of the Holy Ghost begin to work in their lives. And Lord, I thank you that stir up the Holy Spirit inside of them, Lord. And I know that they have to do many of these things on their own because, Lord, you've given them to it. And I pray right now, Lord, that they will choose this very day to go the way of the Lord and to be delivered and be set free. Father, I thank you for this food. Thank you, Lord, for the hands that have prepared it. And we just give you the praise and honor and glory in the name of Jesus. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.